WWE, the custody of a child will be determined in a match.
Oh, I knew he was going to do that.
Hulk Hogan is a jabroni, Hollywood blonde, but my boss, Mr. McMahon, is not jabroni.
Get a horse, Johnson.
Put that cigarette out.
What's up, Drunk Marks? Welcome to this episode of 205 Jive. I'm your designated host, Adam. With us, as always, are the two world-renowned, legendary drunk wrestling drinkers and panel that we have with us today.
This is Eddie, Woozle Wuzzle.
And this is Scott. It's Ghetto Blaster time, fool.
And I don't mean to correct you when you call us the legendary drunk drinkers, but I think our actual official title is legendary drunk historians.
Yes, also drunkards.
I will go with that.
Thank you.
See, this is improv. We're adapting on the spot. This is your exclusive look into how shit gets done with this show. So you're welcome, audience.
I'm sorry you got berated right there, Adam.
No,
he's kind of a dick.
I'm sorry.
No, total heel move.
He's totally not
But you know what? We roll with it. We learn from it, and we grow with it. And then I'll smash you over the head with a chair later on tonight. We'll see.
That's good, fair. Man. I'll take a picture.
Awesome.
Listeners will enjoy that.
And hopefully that picture lands on Twitter at @wrestling_drunk, as well as Instagram as well. But in the meantime, what are we putting away right now?
Well, so today is our St. Patrick's Day. We already uploaded. So we're recording this on the same day that the Andre the Giant St. Patrick's Day episode dropped. But so we're officially celebrating St. Patrick's Day because we recorded these far in advance. So I'm drinking a Guinness.
That was legit.
Well done.
I've been saving that for like 20 minutes, dude. It almost started to warm up.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. Nice job. So a little repetitive, I'm drinking Peach Crown, same as I was during the last batch of recordings, but because I didn't kill a whole bottle, I have to finish it this time around, so I'm still on Peach Crown and a Sprite Chaser.
And your designated host got some soda in hand. If I'm not going to be drunk, I will be sugar high. Before we jump into today's episode, we have a lot of great news about the show, and you've got the printed out list, like an organized drunk historian. What do we got to share?
Well, going through my drunk list, the first thing I want to say is thank you to everyone who listens to the show. We hit a major milestone today. Much like Chris Nowinski burst through Mighty Molly's hymen, we burst through 2,000 downloads. We also, about a week ago, burst through 1,000 Twitter followers. So things are going well. You guys are fucking awesome. Keep up the good work with the downloads. Thank you very much.
You're so happy you got to use that hymen joke.
I know, dude.
you've been saving that one, dude. Like,
I know. I was really hoping we'd hit that 2,000 downloads because it wouldn't have made sense at 1,900. You know, it would have been lame.
Exactly. Like, I think as soon as we decided we were going to do this show, you had that joke in mind for 2,000 downloads.
No.
Okay,
no,
maybe the week after we decided we were going to do this show.
It was sometime
just had to wait for the right opportunity.
Yes, yeah.
It was.
Exactly.
You knew it was there. How was it going to go out?
Yes,
you're exaggerating a little bit,
slightly.
So the other thing I want to get to is we've mentioned before that we want you guys to review the show, rate the show on iTunes, and leave reviews. And we've promised to read the reviews. Well, like dicks, last time we got together, we totally blew that off.
Bunch of drunk assholes.
Right. We didn't do it. So we're getting into it today. So we got a 5-star review from TopDog611.
We got a 5-star.
We have a bunch of 5-stars.
Hell yes.
Yeah. This is a 5-star podcast.
I assumed we were average at best. Thank you guys.
So TopDog611, he obviously listens to Fully Posable because he said Scott turns attitude era and lets the guard down. No censors. Great listen. And the other, we only got one other actual review. It was a 1-star review.
Excellent.
And it said,
see, right there, we average out.
Right. There, so it was like 3.5, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So his comment was, incoherent guys trying to be funny with trying at all caps. That was a great review. I actually forgot to write down his name, but I wasn't going to say it anyway. Fuck that guy. I'm not putting him over.
Well, also, does he know what incoherent means?
Obviously not, because I think we're coherent. We're definitely, he got the trying to be funny part right. We're definitely trying to
be
funny.
Yeah, because God damn it, we are trying.
We're always trying. We're writing our jokes weeks in advance.
We don't try and make mistakes. We don't learn, so.
Right, I worked very hard on the Hyman joke.
We're going to do this, though.
The Hyman joke was way thought out in advance.
Yeah. So one more person I want to put over is a guy called Jeremy Budge. He just kind of started up a conversation with me on DM on Twitter. And he makes these really cool stop motion animation videos. I showed it to you.
Yes.
They're on YouTube. If you type in Jeremy Burge, sorry, B-U-R-D-G-E, if you look up his name on YouTube, you can find his videos. And they're really cool. And someone I want to bury on Twitter is some chick named Jamira Uso. She hit me up on a DM too. If she hits you guys up on a DM, you guys, she's running some kind of scam. She gave me her number and told me to call her. I don't know what the scam is. I assume she was probably gonna be like a Nigerian princess, but
right. Where you had like money waiting where you had to pay into it.
Something to that effect. So fuck this bitch. I don't know who she is, but
she's not a real Uso.
Exactly.
Hell no.
The last thing that I want to
bring
up.
She's in the Uso penitentiary.
Right.
Yeah, she belongs in the Uso penitentiary. Yeah.
Lowest level.
The last thing that I want to bring up before we get into the body of the show, and we have something special coming up right after, is t-shirts. We've got fucking t-shirts. Get your drunk wrestling history t-shirts at whatamaneuver.net so you can help us get more money for beer because we fucking need it. We've got t-shirts, girl shirts for the two chicks who listen to the show, tank tops for showing off the pythons, hoodies for shady fucking people, toddler sizes for your drunk children, and onesies for your babies with fetal alcohol syndrome. Whatamaneuver.net, go there and tell them the drunk sent you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Mazel.
Mazel tov.
Hell of a way to sell a shirt, dude. Well done.
Thank you.
Marketing 101 right there. All right. So now that we've got the notes, the marketing out of the way, as Eddie said, we do have something very special about this episode. Before we actually intro it, I mean, you already saw what the title is, today for this episode, we're going to get one of our favorite listeners, Travis, on the line. This idea came up just like a lot of instant drunken ideas. I think it came up like maybe 10 minutes ago.
Like
and
the
then
show.
We tested, made sure it worked, and then said, hey, let's freaking do this. And
it was as well thought out as this podcast.
Yeah, that's exactly how it came about.
That's how it exactly. So we're going to work on getting Travis on the line right now. He's going to help us intro this.
Through the magic of no editing. Let's see how this works.
Yeah. Yeah, even though this is a recorded podcast, this is live. You're going to see raw, authentic podcastness.
Can you guys hear the ringing?
Yes. I can hear the ringing, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. You're going to want to hold the phone kind of like maybe put it over here so he can kind of hear all of us.
Travis.
Hello, Travis.
What's up?
Hey, what's up, man? Can everybody hear Travis through their headphones?
Yeah, I can hear him.
I got him.
Do I need to turn him up a little bit?
Hold on. I got him. I can turn him up.
You got him?
Yeah.
Let's do this. Travis.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
How you doing, dude? This is Eddie.
This is Scott.
And Adam.
So this is pretty cool. Travis, you and Scott have actually met in real life, right?
No, never.
Oh, I thought you had.
Never. This is our first time ever, like, voice to voice. Meaning, you know, the whole coronavirus thing. We have to be careful about meeting people these days and physical contact and whatnot.
Oh, well, this is very romantic then.
Well, it is voice to voice. First time meeting.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Awesome. Well, good to meet you. Where are you, Travis? I don't even know where you live.
Ohio.
Okay, cool. Right on.
So, Travis, many of the people that listen to the Fully Posable podcast know Travis. We've mentioned him a ton of times at TFowler1 on Twitter. Longtime listener of the show. Great guy all around. Everybody knows it. And he's now a supporter of the Drunk Wrestling History podcast. We have him to thank for the infamous Valentine's Day episode.
We did. That was his idea.
Which I will never live down. That was probably the biggest shit show in the history of podcasting. So we have Travis to thank for that. He's now on the phone. Travis, I got to say, dude.
Let's immortalize him a little more right now. Let's do that shit.
We have him to thank or blame, depending on which way you look at it. Travis, it's great to finally get you on the phone, dude. I'm so happy that you're our first phone guest on the Drunk Wrestling History. Tell me how honored you are right now.
Speechless. I mean, I didn't... At our advanced age, it's hard to be somebody's first, and I'm glad to pop that cherry, pop that bubbly. I don't know. Pop that top. I mean, pick your phrase there.
Travis, what are you drinking right now? We've established what we're drinking. I've got a Peach Crown. Ed's got a Guinness. Adam has the great Dr. Pepper number 23 rocking. What are you drinking over there?
I am just now opening.
There it is.
A fresh Mountain Dew Zero at 11:30 Ohio time. So
nice.
There we go. We got the soda jerks on. It balances out.
I love it. Perfect.
So Travis, were you going to WrestleMania? I thought Scott said you were going to be there.
Yes.
So what's your
let's lay the groundwork where we're at date wise.
Okay.
Because this thing is changing by the hour. Right?
Got it. Like, got it. True.
We're March 13th. Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
That's where we are today.
Yep.
Now, who knows where we're going to be tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's literally changing hour by hour. Travis, where are you at with WrestleMania as of Friday the 13th, almost midnight Ohio time?
I'm still going as of midnight. You know, my buddy Scott, not this Scott, who I grew up wrestling, being my wrestling buddy, we're going. And, you know, there's some hiccups, but like you said, though, like it just seems to be changing daily. Like as of now, Tampa is saying, hey, Vince, like maybe you should cancel WrestleMania and we'll give you a week to do it before we step in and say, this isn't a good idea. You know, within 48 hours, we've gone from, you know, opening days being pushed back, no NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
There's a national emergency now. Like, it's getting a little crazy out there.
See, he's thinking the same thing I was saying earlier, that Tampa, it's a done deal that it's going to be canceled.
Yeah.
They're taking a week to figure out how to cancel it, what are they going to do? Are they going to do an empty stadium?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, is you've already got the stadium booked, right? And
right.
You've got Raw, Hall of Fame, SmackDown, NXT TakeOver, WrestleMania
right.
itself. You've got all these events that are happening. You've already got the empty stadium sitting there. You may as well utilize it.
I mean, maybe.
A lot of these shows are going empty spectator.
Yeah, but yeah. I think he's right. I agree with Travis. I think they know it's canceled.
Yes.
They just are kind of figuring out what they're going to do before making an announcement.
Get the plan.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's
well,
where it's at.
Okay, well, you know what? If it's not canceled, I'm still going to be there, Travis. Scott is out. Adam is out. But I don't give a fuck. I'll get coronavirus.
Well,
and a corona.
Ohio apparently has 158 to 160 confirmed people right now, and our governor came out yesterday and, you know, they said just by statistics and percentages, like 1% of Ohio will be infected. So there's already 100,000 people in Ohio that supposedly are infected just by statistics. So, I mean, if I'm 100,001, I mean, will I really move the needle all that far?
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, and it's in Florida too, so you might as well bring it there with you.
Everybody else
right?
is.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty
I
bad.
I mean, I'm more worried about the flight than I am, like, a stadium full of people.
Totally, I agree.
I mean, the worst thing we'd have a stadium is at least half of them don't wear deodorant, because, you know, we know how some wrestling fans are.
That's a good point.
You're lucky if they brush their teeth.
Yeah. Well,
right.
You know, if we all die from coronavirus, it was nice meeting you, Travis. I'm glad we got to do this before
right.
before it was all over.
This will be your RIP episode.
We're doing this in the future. Like, put the, you know, we'll do the 10 bell salute at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, we might die, but this episode will live forever.
Exactly.
Are you worried about Ric Flair dying from it?
I mean, I don't know. Him and Jerry Lawler have tended to, like, beat death multiple times.
That's
so.
A valid
That's
point.
True.
Yes.
They may be two of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and we just haven't pieced it together yet.
You might be right.
Yeah,
yeah, I think he's in. My money's still on syphilis for what takes out Flair.
Jesus.
I mean, Lawler's got all of his girlfriends. He's you know, he's
high risk.
Millennials these days. You never know. I'm kidding. That's a horrible thing to say.
Right.
Jesus.
So anyway, this episode. Well, Adam, I'll let you intro what we're going to be talking about today.
All right.
You know, like you said, they already saw it on the damn phone. What they know what we're talking about.
Spoilers.
Yeah, exactly. But first off, want to get your take on the legendary Mega Powers. How'd you feel about them? Did you enjoy watching them? What was fandom like? Just having the Mega Powers on TV.
I guess in like 1988, yeah.
He was asking Travis.
Oh, yeah. That was the Travis.
Yeah, layout, yeah. Dude.
Oh, hey, I'll back off.
Got an honored guest here.
We've only got him on the phone for a minute.
I apologize. Let me back off.
It's all good. To me, like, I was born in 81, so I was a kid. So I'm a little younger, but not too much. But this was like, at the time, there was single wrestlers and there were tag team wrestlers. So you were used to seeing your good guy tag teams, your bad guy tag teams, same with your good guy wrestlers and your heels and the bad guys. But like, other than the Royal Rumble, rarely did you ever see like the good guys cross paths. Like you always saw the Heenan family and you know, Slick and his guys, and the bad guys would always team up or the heels would team up. But like, seeing Hogan and Macho Man is the equivalent of like the Avengers movie 10 years ago. Like you never in a million years thought that two of the biggest faces, good guys, were going to come together. So it was like 6 and 7 year old Travis was just like, oh my gosh, this is only something that I can do with my LJNs and Hasbros and like team them together or play on like WWF superstars at the arcade because I get to pick Hogan and Macho Man. Like it just never happened. And when it did, it was like the biggest thing in wrestling since Hogan slamming Andre.
At least in my eyes. You know what? Definitely. That's actually a really good, I'm glad we got you on the phone, 'cause that's a really good perspective. I didn't even think about that you didn't see the faces really interact with each other much.
Very rarely. Like that, Hogan and Junkyard Dog.
Definitely makes sense.
On occasion or.
But yeah, it was rare. Hogan and Beefcake later.
Right. But these were like two of the biggest names on the face side in WWE. I was going to say it would be like McDonald's and Burger King teaming up in the late 80s.
Ew.
Like what? Look, King's of fast food in the late 80s. Right. It was McDonald's and Burger. Like, that was Hogan and Macho Man. Like, they were the two biggest faces in WWF.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
So for them to team up, Travis is absolutely right. It was like the Avengers. Two huge good guys teaming up to take on the bad guys. They didn't stand a chance.
And nobody was ever going to beat them because it was Hogan and Macho Man. Like, whoever beat Hogan and Macho Man never lost. Like, you couldn't beat them. They were unbeatable. And Miss Elizabeth, like the prettiest girl in the world. We won't go back there again. I mean, she's not quite Pete Dunne, Scott, but
I told you I wasn't living that episode down. Thank you, Travis.
You're very welcome.
You're totally right. You knew they were never going to lose. Even as a kid, you're like, well, you know, these guys aren't beating them.
Oh, well, there was no way. Like, they faced the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
There was no way Akeem and Big Boss Man were beating Hogan and Macho Man. There was no way. Oh, wait. Yeah. Did we just get a shot?
Well, yeah. So Carissa just brought in the remainder of the bottle of Jaeger, which is about.
I didn't drink it all, but.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I asked for some more. I got about a quarter of a shot. Scott's got about a half shot.
Did my wife get any Jaeger?
I don't know where she is.
She's had enough. She says she doesn't want to puke.
Ugh,
she doesn't want a repeat of the Valentine's Day episode.
There it is again, Travis.
Apparently, I'm the only one who wants a repeat of that.
All right, well, okay. Cheers.
Salud.
Oh, man. Time.
Cheers.
All right, well, that's a really good point, Travis. I'm actually really glad we got you on here because I hadn't even thought about it that way. And
just the fact that it can only be done through fantasy or like in a fictional perspective, you had to simulate it on the arcade.
Yeah.
Boy, I miss those days. But to actually have it go on full force, what a ride it would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think we're ready to get into the actual body of the podcast. So I think we're going to say goodbye to you for now, Travis. But
Sounds good.
Thanks for calling in, though. This was really cool.
Travis, we really appreciate it.
We just tested out doing phone calls through our mixer like an hour ago. And we were like, well, let's try it. So, and Scott figured you'd be down. So like, that was great. So this was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I want to be able to use the quote first, you know, Long-time listener, first-time caller.
That's it. Yeah, yes. Yeah. That's you. Well done.
It's like fully posable and drunk wrestling history of the Mega Powers. And Travis was the very first call-in.
He's Elizabeth.
Well, if you remember, Scott, Elizabeth. We are... Yes. Oh, well. We are Squat and Squatcho Man, so...
That's like, correct. Yes.
Squatcho Jason Man. Wolf did draw us as the Squatcho
yes,
Powers
he did.
Unite, so...
Yes, he did. That is very
true. That's hilarious. Fitting.
That is That's very perfect. True.
All right, well, I hope I see you in Tampa. Scott won't because he's a pussy. And
I hate the corona.
If not, hopefully LA next year.
Awesome. Sounds good, guys.
All right,
have a great episode. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Travis.
Welcome, Travis.
Take it easy, guys.
Take it easy.
Later, brother.
All right, let's get into it.
First off, thank you so much, technology, for allowing this to happen.
Well, Travis is an awesome dude, too. Oh, yeah. He's been such a longtime listener of Fully Posable. Such a great guy. We talk to him all the time on Facebook Messenger. And just a great dude. That was a great call on your part, Ed, to get him involved in the show. I love it. I'm glad we were able to utilize that technology. But
definitely not just not just a fan. He thoroughly knew his shit. He was able to make a really good intro comparison to the actual impact of how people watch the wrestling and just having something that was theoretical come to life. It was great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, and to the other listeners that are checking this show out, we might be giving you guys a call. So stay tuned.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into it. The Mega Powers.
Get your creepy tweets ready. We'll make sure to implement them into the episode.
Creepy tweets.
Okay. Tweets. Doesn't matter.
Have to be creepy.
No, but it was a creepy tweet that really, really worked. So much appreciated. But this is about the Mega Powers. So 1987, really peaking, still running on the high of Hulkamania right after,
a few months after three.
Yeah, after
yeah. 6 months.
Probably slamming Andre the Giant. And a really good turn starting at Survivor Series, and just so much tension of, is this really going to happen? And like Travis's case said, yeah, you never saw two faces that were that big team up together. How did it impact you guys while watching it as well?
Well, there was no bigger thing in the 80s than Hulkamania. Hulkamania defined WWF in the 80s. But then you had this other thing creeping up. As soon as they turned Macho Man face, you could almost see the writing on the wall that there were bigger things in store for the Macho Man. When he was a heel, it was the IC title. But when they turned him face, he really kind of just shot to the moon. And you could really see his star and his stock rising. And Macho Madness really started to take shape when he became a face. And I would say it was around late 87, before Survivor Series 87, they made the turn for him to be a face, and the Saturday Night's Main Event, where the Hart Foundation and the Honky Tonk Man jumped him, they hit him with the guitar, Elizabeth ran back to get Hogan, and that was the birth of the Mega Powers. Hogan came in and made the save, the handshake that rocked the world, and Travis said it best. It was like watching the Avengers do the team up.
Avengers Assemble.
You got the goosebumps. The hairs were standing on your arms as a little kid. I'll never forget the moment Hogan came out to save Macho, and you're like, oh, dude, there's no way these two guys will ever lose. Travis called it 100%.
Totally.
These guys are untouchable. Nobody's ever going to beat them.
How could you fuck with this?
There's no way.
Right. They were unfuckwithable.
There was no two heels that you could put together that would be a believable duo to beat Hulk Hogan and Randy Macho Man Savage.
Yeah, not even like Danny Davis and Greg the Hammer. Like, what were they going to do to Hogan and Macho Man?
No, not even if you turned Ronnie Garvin heel and teamed him up with like Sam Houston. There was no way those two guys were going to beat Hogan
and
Savage.
Right,
and impossible.
And Sam Houston was no joke.
His bulldog was a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. So were his boots.
He couldn't mess with it.
Yep. So we were just talking about this earlier. So, yeah, Survivor Series 87 was the first time they were together.
Before
the interaction.
The first interaction, then it was the main event.
Yes.
So then it was obviously like going through the timeline. The next thing that came up was WrestleMania 4.
Yes.
Which we've any of you longtime listeners, which long time for us is like 3.5 months.
It was like three and a half months. Yeah.
I think it aired in like November.
Yeah.
But if you're a longtime listener of the show, you understand how much how we feel about WrestleMania 4.
Yeah, it's the best ever.
It's the best ever.
It's the best WrestleMania.
It's the best. It's the Bestlemania.
Bestlemania. You can't argue with it.
And one of the things that made it so great was the Hogan and Macho Man thing, right? It was awesome that Macho won the tournament. But to have Hogan come in to save the day, you know, at the end when Macho was getting fucked over was great. And it was really Hogan with the handshake at the end and put it, yep. You know, Hogan made him. You were like, if you loved Hogan, now you loved Macho Man even more.
Exactly. Right? One extended to the other.
Yeah.
So Hogan's fans became Macho Man's fans. And that was the biggest part of it, right? Because Macho was still kind of ascending the ladder a little bit.
Yeah.
But that rub, if you will, from Hogan really solidified him at the top of the card. And there was no bigger star in 88, really, or stars than Hogan and Macho Man. And those two guys side by side really carried the Federation from, I would say, around mid-87 when Macho Man really started to make that mm-hmm, face turn. Mm-hmm. Mid-87 to late 88 when they finally dissolved the partnership and were leading into WrestleMania 5. That carried the WWF.
Totally,
in
totally.
My opinion, there was no bigger storyline. And we're going to get into maybe they weren't featured as much as you thought they were.
Right.
No matter how much you think you remember that era, they really weren't featured as heavily as you think. But the way that they dominated the Saturday morning shows in just mentions alone.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily screen time. It was just mentions and video replays. Those guys really carried WWF from mid-87 to late 88, all the way into really WrestleMania 5 when the Mega Powers exploded.
Right. So I was like, okay, how do you follow this, right, storyline-wise on the network? So I was like, well, Saturday Night's Main Events would be when they interact with the most. I'm not watching every fucking week of Superstars, obviously.
Right.
So going through it, actually, like, they were a huge deal at the time, but there was less of them on screen together than, like you're saying, to your point. So the first one I could find was on July 9th, and I think I saw this on a replay on Saturday Night's Main Event of a Superstars, but Macho, so it's July 9th, so it was a long time between WrestleMania and then,
right,
like 4 months or whatever. Macho got jumped by Andre, Ted DiBiase, and Virgil.
Okay.
And Hogan made the save, so that was kind of the first time since then you'd seen the interaction, and well, imagine who else was involved with that. Bobby Heenan.
Oh, Heenan, yeah.
Right.
Stirring up
right?
shit.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
There's a beat down and the heels are fucking shit up. Bobby Heenan had his nose right in the middle of everything. Right? You could have guessed that. But then Macho Man challenged them to a tag match, and that was what set up SummerSlam. So that was sort of the next. Before SummerSlam, the only thing that really happened was when Jesse the Body was on. Do you remember what show he was on? I don't remember. Where Ted DiBiase started stuffing money in his pocket, where Jesse was to be the referee. It was a Brother Love show?
It must have been a Brother Love show.
Yeah, it had to have been Brother Love show.
Yeah, because he was on every Saturday.
Right. So that's setting up SummerSlam. You get into SummerSlam, and you're like, well, fuck, man. They paid the referee off.
Yes.
And then that was the main event at SummerSlam.
Yep.
Was Hogan and Macho against DiBiase and Andre.
Yes.
They have Virgil and Heen in there.
Yep.
So you're like...
Oh, okay, totally
the odds are stacked against him. The referee's in DiBiase's pocket.
Yep.
And I've never understood this. I've never heard a story about it. I would love to know why this was done. And I don't know if this was Jesse just doing something on his own, but he changed the tag ropes to the opposite corners. So the tag ropes are typically in, if you're looking at the screen, it would be like the top left corner or the bottom right corner. He moved the tag ropes to the opposite corners.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. They didn't explain it. Gorilla mentioned it. He acknowledged that it was happening, but he was like, what's going on? And it was a really weird thing, and it never came into play.
There was
the
no
match.
Payoff.
No,
yeah.
It was almost like Jesse was just kind of goofing off. You know what I mean? And
weird.
Then, by the way, while we're on this match, you and I talked about this a while back. Billy Graham, superstar Billy Graham, was the, he was the commentator
like the
with
color.
Gorilla.
Yeah.
Right. He was in the Bobby Heenan seat, right? So
right.
It was Gorilla and...
But two faces.
Yeah, right. Two faces,
yep.
Which was unusual for the time.
Yeah.
Superstar Billy Graham, in a way, I almost remember him more as a commentator. Like, I kind of forgot how he sounded as a commentator, but because I missed his actual wrestling career, but like, I was always aware of him, but he was more, I remember hearing him, like, there was like a show that was on late Saturday night. I don't even remember what it was. All-Star Wrestling or something in the 80s. And I think he commentated on that.
I never caught it. I only had Saturday morning. And then later on, primetime wrestling on Mondays. Yeah. But I never had a late Saturday night show.
Billy Graham fucking sucked.
He wasn't great.
He wasn't great. He wasn't even shitty. He was like, whatever's worse than that. He was awful. He was the worst commentator.
I agree with you.
Oh, my God, dude. This drink. Beer. Look, I'm a half hour into the show. I'm almost done with this beer. I could drink four of these in this first half hour and do a better job than Billy Graham. Billy Graham, half the time you think he's not speaking fucking English.
Yeah.
You know, he had his weird way of speaking. It reminded me of that scene in fucking Airplane where the dudes were talking jive and
they had to get a translator.
Right. Mrs. Brady had to come and translate it. Like, I wanted Mrs. Brady to sit between Gorilla and fucking while I'm on a rant about Billy Graham, fuck him. He's an asshole. Thank you.
More so than Dynamite Kid? I mean, come on, dude. Let's put him on the scale here. Dynamite Kid and Superstar Billy Graham.
I don't know. Dynamite Kid. Dynamite Kid was a punk. You know what I mean? Like, he did some shit like where he punched the referee in the mouth for no reason. Billy Graham's not like that. But Billy Graham's a guy who's like, he's just bitter. You know what I mean? He's just like a bitter old shithead. They put him in the Hall of Fame.
Told Kofi he needed to do steroids.
Right. Kofi needs to do steroids.
Ridiculous.
He wanted to be taken out of the Hall of Fame because Abdullah went in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know, shit like that. Fuck him.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. But enough of him as commentator. This is not a Superstar Billy Graham heavy episode.
No.
This is more about the mega powers, which really, now that we're talking about SummerSlam, this is where the seeds were planted for the dissolving of the mega powers. Miss Elizabeth took her skirt off.
Yes.
Because as you mentioned, there were a lot of factors in play against the mega powers prevailing in this, right?
Right.
You had Heenan. You had Virgil. You had the referee with dollar bills in his pocket, that being Jesse Ventura. Who was going to counterbalance all of these forces that were playing against the faces, that would have been Miss Elizabeth. She gets on the ring apron. She takes off her skirt to reveal her bikini bottom. And suddenly the tide of the match shifts. Jesse Ventura is wowed by Miss Elizabeth's bikini bottom. That throws the whole balance of the match into the Mega Powers' favor. They end up winning the match. But you can see Macho Man slowly getting those eyes of jealousy against Hogan, and this is where those seeds were planted.
Right, and this was, I didn't remember that it was this early on. Did you catch when you watched it that this is when Hogan grabbed Elizabeth's ass?
Yes.
I forgot that it was that early on. I thought it was later, like on a...
It was right here.
Main event. Yeah.
No, this is where the seeds started to get planted. Immediately. You saw the look in Macho Man's eyes right away.
Yeah.
Now, how much of that was storyline versus real life? I don't know.
And that's what's kind of
stories.
Yeah, that's what's kind of crazy about this whole thing is because you know the deal with Macho Man Elizabeth and how jealous and crazy Macho Man was.
And protective he was, yes.
And I've always heard that Hogan was kind of the one dude that he was cool with being around her.
Yes.
Because they were really good friends.
Like, yeah, and they hung out on like weekends and stuff and had barbecues.
Right. But it was kind of, I don't want to say uncomfortable, but it was kind of weird seeing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like even as a kid, you were like, oh, okay. This is getting weird.
Right. But yeah, you're right. That happened really, really, really early on.
And then it just escalated from there because then you brought in the Twin Towers into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
You had Akeem and Big Boss Man. And let's not forget the Doctor of Style, Slick, with his hands in all of this.
Right.
Kind of furthering the dissension between the mega powers.
Mm-hmm.
And everything just started to go downhill from SummerSlam. You had the tag team match, which, by the way, was hilarious when Boss Man and Akeem went to go hit the ropes together and Boss Man hit it first and Akeem went and tumbled out of the ring when Boss Man hit the ropes first.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. If you ever have a chance, go back and look at it. Poor Akeem, all 450 of them going over the top rope because it's dropped down because Boss Man already hit the rope. Oh, it's great.
Do you think Hogan, after SummerSlam, do you think he drove back to his hotel smelling his hand the way you did with your phone after Trish talked on it?
I don't want to talk about that right now.
Okay.
My wife is probably listening to the show.
Good enough. Thank you. So the kind of the next thing I could find going through the network after SummerSlam was there was a Saturday Night's Main Event in October. Yeah, with October, and it was Hogan versus Haku, and Elizabeth was in Hogan's corner. So this is, as far as I could tell, the first time Elizabeth was in Hogan's corner.
Right, exclusively, yes.
And Macho was not on that show at all for some reason. For some reason, the champ wasn't there. I don't know. He might have been. Maybe that was when they had different rosters and different guys
yes,
in different shows.
Yes, they had two guys hosting two different cities or whatever, draws.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know where this show was, but he obviously whipped Haku's ass and kind of did the put Elizabeth on her shoulder.
Yes.
Like Macho, he didn't touch your ass.
Not this time.
Right, not this time.
Not this time, but...
Do you think he could smell it from...
I would imagine he got a whiff of something.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, something came off of there, I would imagine.
Good for him.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, what is that? Hamburger Helper?
Oh, fuck.
What is it? Vandekamp's fish sticks? What is that? Anyway, I would imagine he got some sort of whiff. And that would have set Macho Man off as well.
It wasn't like a Tessa situation.
No. No.
Right. You know, nothing like that.
Tessa's in a league of her own.
Right.
Right. Who's also possibly to blame for the Charmin shortage going on right now as she's recording all these videos for these sick fucks out there that want to hear her drop a deuce.
I can't rule that out.
I can't either. That's my only explanation.
All right. So the next thing with any of them having any kind of interaction was November when Macho Man wrestled Andre.
Everyone.
Macho wrestled Andre at a Saturday Night's Main Event, and he had Elizabeth in his corner.
Yes.
And do you remember how that match turned out? I mean, obviously Macho Man didn't lose. I actually legitimately can't remember now. I should have written this down.
No, he didn't win by pinfall. Because still, like, no matter what stage Andre was in his career...
He never lost.
It was very rare that he took a clean pin.
Right, right.
So typically in those type of situations, Macho versus Andre, it was some sort of dirty finish. Most likely a count out or a disqualification of one of the two parties.
Yeah, so that's what I think.
There's no title switching hands.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Something to that effect.
Yeah, so then the next thing after that would have been Survivor Series. They were on the same team. And, again, with my shoddy notes, I don't remember who their team was. Do you remember? Was Jake on the team?
Oh, dude. Oh, my gosh. We're talking Survivor Series 88.
88, right?
That wasn't Zeus yet, right? He wasn't in the picture yet.
No, Zeus was not in the picture.
That wasn't until after 5.
Yes, it would have been after 5.
Oh, my gosh, dude. See, this is what happens when you do a drunk wrestling show and you don't take
88.
Very specific. Oh, look.
Here we go.
This is also the advantage of having a sober host of your show because he can bring up the notes for you, jog your memory a little bit.
Very good.
Happy to help. Hercules, Hillbilly Jim, Coco Beware, and Hogan and Randy Savage.
Could they have picked three worst partners?
Wow. I mean, Hillbilly Jim's kind of the only. Oh my God! Wait, who did they wrestle?
Okay, here's the funny part.
Twin Towers, Haku, Red Rooster, and Ted DiBiase.
Oh fuck!
Okay, Hillbilly Jim, Hercules, Coco Beware. Who's the Hall of Famer? Adam.
That's a trick question there too.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Who would you guess? Yeah,
okay.
Oh, who would you guess?
Guess would be Coco Beware and Hercules. That's my live guess.
You're wrong. It's Coco Beware and Hillbilly Jim, who I believe is still doing his Hall of Fame speech right now.
Still going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
He's giving his brief remarks still.
Brief. Very brief.
Reminder, my era is 2000 onwards, so I think luckily they've given me that pass.
The coronavirus has yet to scare Hillbilly Jim. He's still talking.
Yeah, so that was it. I did notice in that match that the tag corners were in the same spot as they were at SummerSlam.
So weird.
I know.
Why?
I have no idea. I would love to get like the insights. Like if I ever meet Pat Patterson, that's what I'm going to ask him.
There you go.
You know, something like that. Or Jesse. Jesse would be a good one, but Jesse would be like, oh, because the aliens told me to do it. Or he'd come up with something weird.
Right. He wouldn't remember.
No. It would be like some
conspiracy
kind of
theory or some shit.
Right. Do you think he's legit with the conspiracy theories? Like, do you think he really believes all that weird shit?
Or
do you
is
think
he trying to stay relevant?
Or is it, I mean, yeah, well, he's trying to work. You know what I mean? Like, he's trying to have a job. Do you think it's a work? Or do you think he really, because those old school wrestlers, I don't believe shit that they say.
Well, he did a lot of steroids.
No, I don't mean that way. But I mean, just because that's the way it was as a wrestler back in the day when everything was secret and hush hush and kayfabe, you know, they're just liars. Like, it was part of their whole, that was part of their life was to be a liar. So I don't think it's. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe it is legit, dude. Really believes these conspiracies that he works up and has to present to people. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, the aliens, they built the pyramids in Mexico.
That's pretty good.
Now I live in Mexico and I surf every day.
Yeah.
Gorilla. well, you know, Gino.
It's almost like Jesse sitting here at the table.
And that's the only person I can impersonate.
Yeah.
But that's kind of it as far as the Mega Powers. So that's it's not the end of the Mega Powers story, but that's the end of what we're going to talk about tonight because, spoiler, we have an episode coming up where we're going to review WrestleMania 5.
Yes.
Oh, wait, hold on. I'm getting way ahead of myself.
You are a little bit,
should
yes.
we talk about when they explode now, or should we talk about it on the 5 episode?
Oh, no. You need to talk about where they explode now.
Now.
And that would be the edging up into WrestleMania 5. See.
I can't believe you said edging. What is this, a Lars Sullivan video?
I took it like a man, didn't I?
All right, we can talk about that. I totally, yeah, I don't know why I was about to skip over that.
He's a big boy.
But, oh, God. What a dumb show. That was the first main event, right? It wasn't Saturday Night's main event. It was main event.
Yes,
and was
main
it the,
event.
It was like the 32nd anniversary just happened where the guy was like, oh, the ratings aren't as cool as you think they are because 60 million people watch, and that was only a third of the country watching a wrestling match. Like, whatever, fuck him.
Stop it.
So that was the first, that was on a Friday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and this is gotta be one of, dude, it might be the thing I remember the most vividly from 80s wrestling was this match where it was Hogan, it was the Mega Powers against
yes.
the Twin Towers.
Yes.
And I mean, it's like one of those things like I'll never forget. It's like, you know, I remember it like I remember when I heard Michael Jackson died, right? Like, you'll never forget it.
You never forget where you were sitting when you were watching it when this went down.
Exactly.
It was that monumentous.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, it was monumentous. Indeed.
Monumentous.
Yeah. So, Mega Powers getting their asses kicked by, I mean, Akeem and Bossman were working them the fuck over, right?
Well, let's not underplay how big the Twin Towers were. These guys were like your two biggest heels on the roster, aside from Andre the Giant.
Right.
They were your two big, like literally biggest heels. They yeah. were super heavyweights. And
right.
they whooped ass.
And they were over, brother.
They were way over. They
yeah,
were two
I
humongous
mean,
guys that could actually work too.
Right. When they came to the ring, it was like someone's going to get their ass kicked.
Right. Yeah. Right. Mark Henry before Mark Henry.
Right. Macho Man mm-hmm. got his wig. Elizabeth got her wig split.
She literally got her wig split.
Yeah. So they're fucking him up.
Yes.
At one point, I think Akeem tosses Macho Man through the ropes onto Elizabeth.
Yes, like, and that looked bad too.
So here's what I want to know what you think about this. I've never heard anything about this, but I've also never looked into it. Do you think that that was edited in and he didn't? Because, I mean, dude, he looked like he killed Elizabeth.
No, it does.
Okay, you never see her face when it happens, right?
Oh, I see where you're going.
Do you think that
this.
Was like a mannequin or something?
No, I think she took that bump.
You think she really took the bump?
I really do.
I mean, how do you take that being her size and not get hurt?
Maybe she was really hurt.
Well, that's
like, I mean, they did pan to backstage and she
right.
was on a gurney.
Well, that was part of, you know, I mean, that was kayfabe though.
Well, no, it totally was, but there's nothing saying that she didn't really get hurt by
that's
that.
True. That's true.
She could have ended up
that's
with some
a lead
sort of,
in to make that but final I mean, result more believable.
But I mean,
it looked great on camera, dude.
Yeah, but I mean, doesn't it seem like super risky? Like, that just seems like dangerous. Like, it almost seems like something Macho wouldn't even want to do.
They did a lot of steroids back in the day. Right, they were making bad decisions, maybe.
That's true.
Go they wiped her the fuck out,
yeah,
dude. Like, Macho her. Man was thrown right out, full speed, wiped Elizabeth's ass out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, knocked her the hell out.
Right, so Macho's getting his ass kicked. Hogan's like, I gotta save Liz.
Which was a heel move.
Which was a total heel move because there were fucking people out there with a stretcher. Like,
yes.
they have medical professionals for that. What the fuck
they
was Hogan
taken
gonna
care
do?
Of.
Hogan, you think Hogan knows CPR?
Well,
no.
Well, it's way more efficient if I pick you up and carry you to the back while my tag team partner takes an ass whooping inside the ring.
Right, which, by the way, the first thing they teach you in first aid class is if someone's been injured like that, don't fucking move them.
Right,
right.
And what does he do?
Moves her. Picks
scoops
her up.
Scoops her right up.
No,
yeah.
it was he broke every rule of first aid.
Every single one of them.
Yeah, he had no idea what he was doing, and then he abandons his fucking partner, and you're right, like, he was the heel.
he was not Safety Dave. In that,
not
in
at
that
all.
Equation at
not
all.
Not at all.
No.
No.
He was not practicing the safety dance at all, which if the 80s taught us anything...
It was the safety dance.
It was the safety dance. Hogan went against every single rule of that, picks up Miss Elizabeth with her neck dangling back. I could have fucking snapped her neck.
Yeah, right. It was all bad.
All bad.
Terrible.
So Hogan was the heel in that situation.
Totally.
Macho Man was 100% justified in whooping his ass later in the locker room.
Right, so Macho Man comes to the back, attack gets in his face,
points
the finger.
By
the match.
Because yeah. Hogan comes back out, mm-hmm. and they win the match.
They win
yes.
the match.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
won the match. But the big meltdown happened during the match. Hogan comes back out, jumps on the apron. Macho Man has made a Herculean comeback in the match, slaps Hogan right in his mouth.
Yep. Yeah. Jumps and walks off.
Jumps the top rope in a fucking boss ass move,
that was,
dude.
Yeah.
Points up at him after he hits the floor and walks off.
Well, fuck you, Hogan.
Like, you thought Tito and Martel breaking up at five was awesome.
Right.
They have nothing on Macho Man dumping Hogan's ass.
Exactly.
That was great.
Right.
Macho Man goes to the back. He's tending to Elizabeth. Hogan, miraculously, of course, big bootleg drop, womp, 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 goes back to the ring or back to the locker room after the match, confronts Macho Man, and Hogan just straight gets his ass whooped by Macho Man in the back. Elizabeth is screaming the whole time. And that is probably where this episode drops off before we get into our WrestleMania 5 episode.
I think so. I do want to point out one thing about that, though. Did you notice that, like, an orange or something flew away when Hogan, when Macho jumped Hogan?
An orange?
Yeah, there was, like, an orange, or maybe, like, an orange, it looked like a ball from a pool table or something, like an orange orb shot across the room. And I, even from the, even the first time I saw it when I was, I would have been 9, I was like, what the hell is that? That was weird.
An orange?
Like a something. Yeah, something flies away. I think he like flips the stretcher and like it catapults like an orange or something. I don't know what it is.
You'd Did it shoot out of Miss Elizabeth?
No, but I've seen that before.
Yeah, where they shoot ping pong balls out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Maybe she was upping her game.
Right. Oh, well, yeah, she wanted to win them both over.
You know?
I don't know.
Do your best. Yeah. At the top of the card.
But you're right. We're going to stop here and we're going to pick up on the WrestleMania 5 episode.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. So, again, want to hear what you think. How did the Mega Powers impact you as an addicted wrestler, or just the fandom and realization that this tag team that would have never happened just because faces wouldn't come together, or just two high profiles would come together? What did you think? We definitely want to hear you. Again, make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and actually one more platform.
That's we right. are now officially on TikTok at @wrestling_drunk.
So, yeah.
Okay. Dude, TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
my 10-year-old is on TikTok.
So get, yeah.
So am I.
Give us all your reviews with creative ass dances and all that shit. So, once again, thank you all so much to listening to this episode. Of course, you know, the future episode that we have coming up, but you just need to tune in and download that when it comes about. So, once again, on behalf of Scott and Eddie, and another big, big thank you to Travis for joining us. It was just a blast to have him. My name is Adam. Just want to remind you all, please enjoy your buzz, watch wrestling responsibly, drink like nobody is fucking watching. One, Ooh. Two, three, Mega Powers!
Cheers.
Pay-per-view event was a joke. You're avoiding Randy Savage cause you know you can smoke. Come on, that phony fight, The Rock spanked you fast. But when I challenged Hogan to a real fight, he passed. I called him out, but the punk was scared to go. It was a charity event, but the Hulk didn't show. Hollywood Hulkster, you're at the end of your rope. And I'ma kick you in the butt and wash your mouth, I was so. Cause, like Rodney Dangerfield, you get no respect. So come on, Hulk, let's wreck so I can put you in check. Be a man, Hulk. Come on, don't be scared. You're running from Macho, that's what I heard. Be a man, Hogan. Come on, don't be a chump. I never thought Hulk would go wild like a punk. Be a man, Hulk. Come on, don't be scared. You're running from Macho, that's what I heard. Be a man, Hogan. Boy, you's a chump. Cause Hulk Hogan is a real big punk. They call you Hollywood. Don't make me laugh. Cause your movies and your acting skills are both trash. Your movie straight the video, the box office can't stand. While I got myself a feature role in Spider-Man. You hide the man. But when I find you, it's on. And when I slam it to the dirt, you wish you was never born. I smell a coward. Is that you, Hogan? What? Macho's gonna kick your butt. It's a slogan. You tried to ignore me, thinking I'll go away. But I'ma keep on messing with you, dude, day after day. And once you step to Macho, you're through. The joke's on you, so Hulk, what you gonna do? Probably nothing, cause you're a real big punk. You call
that up on the phone, man, use a chalk. Cause if you really got static, take it up with me. And I'll pump your butt out for the world to see. Be a man, ho.
Come on, don't be scared. You're running from macho, that's what I heard.
Be a man, Hogan.
Come on, don't be a chump. I never thought help would go wild like a pump.
Be a man, ho.
Come on, don't be scared. You're running from macho, that's what I heard.
Be a man, Hogan.
Boy, use a chump. Cause Hulk Hogan is a real big punk.
Be a man, Hulk.
Come on, don't be scared. You're running from macho, that's what I heard.
Be a man, Hogan.
Come on, don't be a chump. I never thought Hulk would go wild like a punk.
Be a man, Hulk.
Come on, don't be scared. You're running from macho, that's what I heard.
Be a man, Hogan.
Boy, use a chump. Cause Hulk Hogan is a real big punk.